Yeah, man, it's so great to be back. Sean and I spoke a while ago, and for those I haven't met, sorry, let me just start. For those I haven't met, my name is Mornay. As Sean has said, I'm the husband of one wife. I am the father of one son, Simon, who is there in Opa's arms at the back sleeping. He has just turned one a few weeks ago. And man, it's been wild. It's they say get married because you'll see how truly selfish you are, and then you get children and you realize how selfish you are. But just Sean and I spoke a while ago, and he just said, "Man, it'll be good on your first Sunday back to maybe share and to just I don't know. Let's see what the Lord does." And just as I was praying and trusting the Lord for something to share this morning, I felt to share something which I believe the Lord actually started just before we went onto the Church Planters course. And it definitely got intensified during the Church Planters course. And I want to say he's definitely not finished with what he started, which is a great place to be. It sucks and it's great at the same time, because often when he works and we kick against it, it's a lot harder than it should be. And I remember on our very first weekend during the Church Planters course, Dan Barnard, who is the lead elder of the Sunningdale congregation, the 831, he said something that I found so profound. And it'll probably be something that I carry for the rest of my life. And I had to mention his name. I have to give him credit. I wish I can say this was mine, you know? It was one of those, like, just put it on a t-shirt, sell it, make millions, retire. It's one of those for me, you know? I just go like, wow, okay, this is, and there are probably more, like, sharper brain, so if I say this and this doesn't hit, I'm sorry, but this for me in my small brain was like, oh my word. And he said this: the gospel is not something we pass on, but it's something we carry. The gospel is not something we pass on, but something we carry. Yeah, and I remember it was just one of those moments where you just go, oof, I have just been hit by a truth bomb. And it's as if ever since I'm asking myself this question: Mornay, are you still carrying the gospel? Am I still carrying what Jesus did on that day? What he did on the cross, his death, his resurrection. The fact that having accepted him as my Lord and my Savior now not makes me an enemy against his house, but it positions me as a son in his house. And in this house, I can give all my days to him with the excitement that I will one day see the Savior face to face. Because I think it's so easy to be purpose-driven in the kingdom instead of being position driven. Because before I ever find my purpose in the kingdom, I need to know my position. And I'm going to say, sorry, I need to learn how to talk more straight. So I'm going to be straight this morning. Because when we carry the gospel, I think we can often carry it almost like a battle scar or like a limp. You know, we can almost camp in the side of hyper grace, or eyes are on me like, oh, Jesus saved me, wonderful. Or we can camp on the side of wearing it like this get out of jail free card, where we go like, hey man, I'm following Jesus, I'm better than you. But I think this message, this gospel, was always meant to be carried with humility, knowing that it's his mercy that set me here. But at the same time, we also carry it with a mandate, knowing that there is a world that needs to hear this message. And I think it feels like over the past few months, it's as if God has just been reminding me of the gospel. And I say to myself, Mornay, but you've been following the Lord for a while now. Like, this is the foundation of everything. How can you forget it? Trust me, you can't forget it. Man, that everything we do, everything we are, why we believe what we believe, why we say what we say, why we live like we live, why we love like we love, it's all because of the gospel. It's all because of Jesus. And I think if I'm honest with myself, it's easy to church. It's easy to go churching. It's easy to come on a Sunday and worship, to go to come on a Wednesday. It's easy to say all these Christian things, to say all these great, holy, wonderful things, pray these big prayers that no one understands. It's easy to look as if I'm flourishing and I'm this best Christian ever, that if there was a competition, I would win it. And I'm not competitive, but if there was, I would win it. But if all of that isn't coming from a place where the gospel has changed the way that I live, changed the way that I speak, change the way that I am, change the way that I think, change the way that I forgive. If it doesn't come from that place, I think I'm in danger of living a life that looks so great from the outside. But on the inside, Jesus is no longer sitting on his throne. And I ask myself this question, have I become bored with the gospel? Has my salvation, the day that I met Jesus, just become something of the good old days? You know, remember that day? Oh, what a wonderful day. And then I carry on as if nothing has changed. But am I still carrying this thing in me, what Jesus did? Is my heart and my life still gripped by the gospel? Am I still carrying it? And perhaps there are some of us here this morning and you maybe know or even feel in your heart that you've responded to this message a while ago, years ago. But it's almost as if the power of the gospel is lacking. We're just going through the motions, doing the right things. We're just churching. And my prayer this morning is that we wouldn't just be reminded of the message of the gospel this morning. But I pray that the gospel and the power would again this morning come and grip our hearts, that it would grip our lives so that we would not just be known as messengers of the gospel, but actually carriers of the gospel. That our hearts wouldn't just be gripped by the message of the gospel again, but that it would be gripped by the one this message is about Jesus. So that wherever we go, whoever we meet, how we live, what we say, that when people look at our lives, they cannot help but say, and when they ask, the answer is this: Jesus. The Lamb upon the throne, the worthy one, the one who is worthy of all praise, all glory, all honor. I cannot boast in the decision I made. I can only boast in that which God had done. Sorry if I'm being loud. And I ask myself, how can my heart once again and my life be gripped by the gospel? By what Jesus did on the cross. And I remember we were in Benoni and I had the privilege to preach at the AM congregation there at City on a Hill, and got a message from one of the guys. We were still in Cape Town and it was sort of the week leading up, and sent me a message. His name was Grant, like, "Hey, Mornay, just wanted to let you know we have you up to preach with us." And I was like, "Whoa, okay, on my hat." Preaching at a 412 congregation, I was nervous. And it was just as if the Lord just came. And I remember saying to JT, their lead elder, as we were sort of just speaking, and I said to him, "I actually grew up in Joburg." And there was just this moment where I remember leaving Johannesburg so broken. this fraught 20-year-old with no hope, with no future. Off to Wellington to do a Bible school. Basically saying, okay, Lord, here is a year of my life. See what you can do. And 8 years later, being able to stand in the place where I grew up and testify. And not saying, look at me, but saying, look at what the Lord has done. And in no way am I whole, am I perfect. Far from it. You can ask my wife. But man, changed by the gospel forever. And I was reminded, I read this quote a while ago. It was actually by the man who wrote the song Amazing Grace. And he said this, I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what I want to be. I'm not what I hope to be in another world. But still, I'm not what I once used to be. And by the grace of God, I am what I am. And for the gospel to come and grip our hearts this morning, I believe that we need a reminder that Jesus didn't just come to die for the sake of death, but he came to die for the sake of life. Reminded that what I've received from him was a free gift, but it cost him everything. And even as I was preparing this, I thought to myself, you know, like the decision, I think we can often so, I can hype up the day of my salvation and just like put the eyes and the focus on me, like, yeah, this is what it cost me following Jesus. And I think, no, what did it cost him? I'm nothing. And there's the scripture in Romans 12. I need to get going. I need to get cracking with the rest of my message. There's the scripture in Romans 12 verse 1. Oh, and it's as if the Lord is just, if I ever will get a tattoo, this will probably be the verse that I get a tattoo with, because it's as if the Lord has just been tattooing it on my heart, for a lack of a better term. And it's in Romans 12 verse 1. And Paul is writing to the church in Rome and he says this, therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, for this is your true worship. And my preach this morning is in two sections. I call it the reminder and the response. And that first part of the verse, that's the reminder. Paul says, firstly, in view of the mercies of God. Now, often when you read the Psalms or when you read something of David, they would often say, remember the works of the Lord. Remember his deeds. Remember his miracles. And when I read the scriptures, as if my heart goes, in view of his mercies, ah, oh, I remember, Lord. I remember. I love that language. And it's like as if I go like, oh my hat, I'm reminded that I've received mercy. I'm reminded of the gospel. Remembering that this God, through his grace and his mercy, sent his only Son to upon the cross take upon himself my guilt, my shame, my punishment, all that should have been mine. He took it upon himself to die this horrible death. But not just that, that on the third day he rose. And when he rose, I now have this opportunity, this life, free from the bondage of sin, free from death. And I can use this life now not for my own gain, but for the gain of God, for the gain of the kingdom. This is what I need to remind myself of, that the gospel was never just a message I listened to, but the gospel is a gift I received. And through that gift, I found my ultimate purpose. And that is to worship and to love and to live for the one who created it all. I wasn't just introduced to a message. I was introduced to a person. The gospel is not a message. It's a person. It's Jesus. And I love this. You know, I said this earlier. Like I can I can so easily boast in saying, I made the decision to follow Jesus. When I tell my testimony to someone, you know, it was my clever thinking. I made the sacrifice by following Jesus. No. Jesus was mercy from a merciful God. Who am I to take credit? I love this. Paul writes in Titus 3 verse 5 and he says, He saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. Remember what the Lord has done. Just take yourself back to that moment. Whether it was 20 years ago, 70 years ago, remember what the Lord has done. And then the response. Because for every reminder, there is a response, as all good husbands would say. Because if my wife reminds me something, I better respond. Otherwise, there's heismules. For every reminder, there's a response. And the response is this. Now, having remembered what Jesus has done, the gospel now comes in its power and it changes every aspect of me. It changes my life. It changes what I think, what I want, what I don't want, what I decide, what I don't decide. And I want to be blunt this morning and I want to say that it's impossible to carry the gospel if the gospel has not changed my life. Because if the gospel is a person to me, my life will never, ever be the same again. But if it's only a message, it will fade away. And I remember when I read this verse in Romans, in view of His mercies, present yourself as a living sacrifice. I went, that's the response to the reminder. In view of His mercies. Because what's amazing is for the first 11 chapters, when you read it in the book of Romans, Paul is literally, he's speaking about sin, about justification, about grace, about adoption. He's painting this picture of the gospel. And then, in the new chapter, he uses that word, therefore. Meaning, everything that I have said up until this moment leads to this. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to Him. In view of the gospel, in view of what you've received, give your bodies. And when Paul used that word, bodies, it's the Greek word, soma, and it literally in the ancient Greek meant everything. Alles. Your mind, your ears, your mouth, your life. I've even read something where it said like your relationships. It literally meant everything you are as a person. All of this, in view of His mercies, leads to this. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing, for this is your true worship. You guys still following? And when we respond in two ways. We respond to God first, and then to people. And the first way I respond is through giving God everything that I am. My whole life. My whole life. I said it now. Everything. My soma. And essentially what this means is that as a sacrifice on the altar, I come and I say, Lord, here is my life. Take all of it. Use all of it. It's no longer mine. It's yours. And when this happens, when this truly happens, it shows that the gospel isn't just a message I heard and received, but it shows that the gospel is exactly what Paul said it is. It's the power of God at work. A power that not only opens my ears to hear a message, but power that opens my heart to respond in the way that I say, I give my life to this message. I give my life to this person. The way I speak, the way I love, the way I forgive, it changes everything. I love this. Paul, in the book of Galatians 2, verse 20, he says this, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and he gave himself for me. When I received God's mercy through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, the power of the gospel now comes and it puts to death my old life. It puts to death my desires of my former life, the things I once loved that was ugly, that was filthy before him. My old life no longer should attract me. But this new life I now have in Jesus, I live by faith in him, and I live it to bring him glory. It means that I'm dead to my former ways. Dead. When I carry the gospel, I carry it for good. In 2 Corinthians 5 verse 15, Paul writes this to the church in Corinth, and he says, and he speaks about Jesus, and he died for all, so that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for the one who died for them and was raised. And if I'm truly still carrying the gospel, it means that I don't live for what I want. I live for what he wants. And I want to say, in our culture today, the world looks at Christians, and because of law and legalism, they say this. Oh, you have to live this way because you feel guilty. Man, I say no. Mercy and grace is God, I choose to live this way. I want to live this way. I want to live a life that points to you, Jesus. A life that reflects you, that serves you, that honors you. And then we respond to people. And I think it's one thing understanding the message of the gospel, but it's actually a mandate that we've been given. Do you know that? Who knows that? Only one, only two, only three. To carry the gospel is a mandate that you've been given. It's not just a message and a person that you receive, but now we go as believers and we take this message, we take this person and we take it into all the ends of the earth. This message was never meant to be for these four walls. This message, these four walls, is a fruit of this message. I go from carrying this message, this person, internally, to now carrying it externally, so that when people look at my lives, or at my life, all they can see is Jesus. All they can see is a life changed and gripped by the gospel, changed forever by grace, changed forever by mercy. But when they look at me, the only thing they see is Jesus. And that they see Jesus is alive, and they see I'm not ashamed to follow him. And I'm definitely not ashamed to show that I love him dearly. In Acts 20, verse 24, Paul says, but I consider my life of no value to myself. My purpose is to finish the course and the ministry I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of God's grace. And I want to say this morning that this purpose, even though written by an apostle, is not reserved for only the apostles. It's not reserved for the pastors. It's not reserved for the super prophets. It's not reserved for the super saints. It's not reserved for those who glow in the dark. It's not reserved for those who are the most eloquent. It's not reserved for those with the best speech. But this mandate, this message that we take into the world, this is reserved, and it's a purpose for every single believer in the church. when this gospel has gripped and changed our lives, this mandate, this opportunity, this responsibility, it no longer is an obligation. But it becomes this overflow and this joy of what the Lord has done in my life. And it's as if it goes from, oh, I have to tell people about Jesus because the Bible says so, to no, no, no. I cannot wait to tell people about Jesus, especially those who don't know Him. And Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 19, he says, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making His appeal through us. We plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. It's as if we as the believers go and we say, world, be reconciled to God, because He's coming back for this bride. And on that day, whether they know Him or not, every knee will bow and acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. And I'm going, Lord Jesus, please let us make sure that when those knees bow, they bow for the right reason, that they are on the right side of Your judgment, Lord. Because I think for so long have I shied away from keeping this message exclusive. From thinking, if I just live good, people will see I'm a Christian. That's not good enough. That's not good enough. Man, I'm so reminded, like even the places the Lord has given us, our workplaces, our gyms, our friendship groups, people we see on the street, in the supermarket. Am I still walking into a place going, Lord, just send one person that I can share the gospel with this morning? Just, Lord, if it's one, you know, when I see someone with a moon boot, it's as if I go the opposite direction. Like I'm not joking. And I say to myself, flesh, you need to stop that. Go and pray for that person. What's the worst that could happen? God heals them. Great, then I tell them about Jesus. And the worst, God doesn't heal them. Great, then I tell them about Jesus. And this message, when we carry this gospel, when we carry this in our lives, when we carry it internally and externally, but especially when we carry it into the world, it's not just a, oh, by the way, there's this person, Jesus. It's not a by the way message. If that's how I present it, then it is just something that I pass on. It's almost as if it's, I just need to get rid of this. But if I carry it in a way that I know, that I know, that I know that this is my mandate and that people need to hear about and meet Jesus, I dare say that when we speak to people about Jesus, hopefully there's an encounter. If we carry it like we should carry it. And I'm preaching to myself. That it wouldn't be just a message to them, but that they would be introduced to Jesus. Before people hear about the events in church, before I introduce them to my comm leader, introduce them to Jesus. He's the worthy one. He's the one that does the better work. He's the great shepherd. He's the best pastor. He's the prophet. He's the worthy one. Before I introduce them to anything and anyone else, I ask myself this question. Have I asked them, do you know Jesus? And as I said, man, it'll look so different for all of us. And that's the beauty of church. We're not all in the same job. You know that movie, that the B movie? We're like, they're all in this hive, and like, there's all like these jobs that are so like similar, you know, everything is like one purpose. And I go like, please, Lord, let that not be us. But just God has given each of us, I don't want to say sphere of influence, that's like so, it makes it about me. But just He's given us this field, this harvest, our gyms, our workplaces, wherever we go, our schools, our friends, our families, it's a gift. You know, I often shy away from numbers when it comes to church. You know, I say to myself, church is not about numbers. And it is, but it isn't. And the reason I say it is, the numbers don't make us feel great. We don't hold the numbers up like a badge and say, oh, look, we've got a church of 200. Look how great we are. And healthy things do grow. But picture this. What if tomorrow, 5, 10, 20, or 50 people get saved and gets added to this body? That's 5, 10, 20, or 50 less people going to hell. All the accountants will say the numbers don't lie. I think when we present the gospel to people, it's okay to be numbers driven. It's okay, you know that movie, Hacksaw Ridge, it's okay to say, Lord, one more. Just one more, Lord. Just one more, because who knows who walks through those doors? Who knows what the next convert is like? Who knows what God could do? Who knows the next convert could be the next guy that plants 60 congregations? And it's not to boast in the 60 congregations, but it's to boast that heaven will be fuller and richer. We cannot shy away from leaving the gospel at home. The gospel is not a message I leave at home. The gospel is something I take with me Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Sorry that I'm shouting. It was never meant to be exclusive or private. But it was always intended to reach the world, to reach the nations, and to see people coming to Jesus. And this response, laying down my life before God and laying it down for the sake of those who don't yet know Him, that is presenting my body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to Him. And I've got enough time. I want to share this story. I've probably shared it in 3 of my preaches because this is just amazing. There's a story about a man called Robert Moffat, and my father-in-law and my mother-in-law, they've heard this story, so please excuse me. And I just love this. Just bear with me. Robert Moffat, as a small boy, he grew up sort of in a missionary field, and as a young boy, he attended this missionary meeting. And as he listened to the message of the gospel, stirred and gripped by God's love, the offering basket came around to give to the mission field. And being so poor, he had nothing to give. And when the usher gave him the basket, he put the basket on the ground. He stepped into the basket and he said, God, this is all I give. I've got nothing else to give you. Because see, there's 2 aspects. We come empty-handed, but we come with something to give. We come empty-handed, not full of pride and saying, Lord, I'm the best evangelist. But we actually say, no, Jesus, I'm reminded of your mercy. Let people see you. And this guy went on to spend 52 years serving the gospel in South Africa. And as we end, you know, when it comes to the gospel, I believe that we have been called to be so much more than just those who listened to a message years ago. We're so much more than just messengers, but we are called to be those who carry the gospel. We're called to be those who first internally carry this gospel. We carry it in a way that it's not just a message to us, but it's something that changed our lives. It's not just a message, but a person. And we carry it with hearts full of thanksgiving and full of praise, and that we can look back and we can say, look at what the Lord has done. Look how awesome is He. How wonderful is He. And then we're called to be those who carry this message into the world, into our daily lives. And we don't just carry it as something we pass on, But we carry it with a mandate. We carry it with a purpose. That when we get the chance to tell people about Jesus, when we get the chance to tell them about mercy, we do our absolute best to let them know that this is and that this will be the best news they will ever hear. That Jesus came. That God sent mercy. But it often just takes a reminder, a remembering of what God has done. But not just a remembering of what He has done, but who He sent. The perfect, spotless Lamb. The one that would become the perfect sacrifice. The one that would take it all, bear it all. The one whose body would be broken on that cross. And on that day, when He emptied His body, when His spirit left, and He breathed out His last, and He said, "Father, it is finished." That was just the beginning. Remember what the Lord has done. Because we don't wallow in our salvation. It's not, "Oh, Jesus, woe is me." But it's like, "Lord, all I can give you is me.